Hello, everyone. This is Jeffrey Kerr. I'm here with the May 2024 installment of the News of the Month series on the Kerr Reviews podcast, where I discuss a few different entertainment news stories that feel important and or interesting to me. Each of the stories you'll be hearing me talk about have been divided into four separate categories. The first set of them is some awards talk. This past month, key dates were revealed for each of the following awards shows for next year. The Golden Globes will be back on CBS as part of a five-year deal. They'll be broadcast there as well as live-streamed simultaneously on Paramount+. Nominations for next year's ceremony will be announced on December 9th. The telecast will be taking place on Sunday, January 5th, 2025. Here's hoping it'll be much better than the one from this past year. Just saying. Meanwhile, the Screen Actors Guild Awards will live stream on Netflix again for the second year in a row. Nominations will be announced on January 8th, 2025, with the ceremony taking place on February 23rd. As for the biggest one of all, Oscar nominations will be announced on January 17th, 2025. The ceremony will be taking place on ABC on March 2nd, which just so happens to be the day before my birthday. There's quite a lot to look forward to for the beginning of next year, so be sure to keep following me for updates regarding those awards shows. This next news story is about the adventures of Persilla, Queen of the Desert. For those unfamiliar, it's this 1994 Australian independent film written and directed by Stefan Elliott. The story follows two drag queens and a transgender woman as they journey across the Australian outback from Sydney to Alice Springs to perform a drag show. They travel by tour bus that they have named Persilla. Along the way, they encounter various groups and individuals while also widening comfort zones and finding new horizons. At the time of the release, the only known commodity in the cast was Terrence Stamp, who played the trans woman Bernadette. Meanwhile, the other two drag queens were played by Hugo Weaving and Guy Pearce, who've both gone on to achieve international recognition in more mainstream films since then. And when Persilla came out, it was a surprise commercial hit, making over $29,700,000 at the worldwide box office on a production budget of around $2 million. Not to mention that its positive portrayal of LGBT individuals helped introduce LGBT themes to mainstream audiences. Persilla also ended up winning an Oscar for Best Costume Design, which many find to be such an inspired win for two reasons. One, it had no other nominations. And two, it had more contemporary clothing, and that category usually favors more period clothing. In the years since, the film has not only become a cult classic, but it also served as the basis for a stage musical, which uses well-known pop songs as its score, that's been produced all over the world. In fact, the costume designers from the original film, Tim Chaplin's Lizzie Gardiner, returned to work on the musical, which won them Tonys for the 2011 Broadway production. This past month, it was revealed that Stefan Elliott is working on a sequel to The Adventures of Persilla, Queen of the Desert. He's not only set to return as writer, director, and producer, but Hugo Weaving, Guy Pearce, and Terrence Stamp are also expected to reprise their roles. Interesting that the latter will be because we've lately gotten to a point where it's pretty much mandatory to cast real transgender performers as transgender characters in show business. When cisgender performers took on those roles 30 years ago, it wasn't considered too problematic, although nowadays it's a different story. Obviously, there are arguments to be made about how the point of acting in general is to pretend to be someone and or something that you're not. Then again, the more cisgender performers taking on transgender characters, the further it limits the number of opportunities for transgender performers in the industry. So we'll see how Stamp playing Bernadette today will end up being received. As for my thoughts on the sequel news overall, now, for a while, my main familiarity with this property was through the stage musical. I saw it once when the tour came to Cleveland, Ohio back in 2013. I only caught up with the original film for the first time nearly a year ago. As someone who's typically not the biggest fan of comedies, I actually enjoyed it. Plot details for the sequel are still under wraps, but it's supposed to feature a grown-up version of Hugo Weaving's character's 7-year-old son from the original. If this project ends up going anywhere, I'd be curious to see how it turns out. This next news story is about On Your Feet. For those unfamiliar, it's this jukebox biographical musical that tells the true story of how Emilio and Gloria Estefan, a record-making and groundbreaking couple who, in the face of adversity, found a way to make it happen. From their humble beginnings in Cuba, they came to America and broke through all barriers to become a crossover sensation at the very top of the pop music world. The musical debuted on Broadway in the fall of 2015 and ran for nearly 2 years. I've seen the show myself when the national tour came to Durham, North Carolina back in 2018. You can find a link to my review of it in the episode notes. This past month, it was announced that a feature film adaptation of On Your Feet is in the works at Sony. Lizette Felicino, I hope I pronounced that right, who previously helmed an indie film from 2021 titled Women is Losers, is set to write and direct. How far will this project go? I have no idea. Like pretty much anything in show business, things go into development, but there's always a question of will it or won't it happen? Then again, given the commercial successes of recent musician biopics such as Bohemian Rhapsody, Rocketman, Elvis, and even Bob Marley One Life from a few months ago, maybe there is hope for this one to get made. So we'll see if there's any further updates. For our final subject, I'd like to take this moment to remember three industry veterans we've lost within this past month. O.J. Simpson died of cancer on April 10th at the age of 76. A controversial actor, athlete, and broadcaster who played in the NFL for 11 seasons, mainly with the Buffalo Bills, regarded as one of the greatest running backs of all time, his professional success was overshadowed by his trial and charges for the murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown, and her friend, Ron Goldman, on June 12, 1994. That incident not only made headlines all over the world, but it's also been depicted in countless documentaries, as well as the first season of FX's anthology series, American Crime Story. Eleanor Coppola died on April 12th at the age of 87. A filmmaker who was also Francis Ford Coppola's wife of 61 years. For her early career, she spent much of her time accompanying her husband during production of his movies. Most notably, she co-directed a documentary about the hectic shoot of his 1979 classic, Apocalypse Now. It was titled Heart of Darkness, A Filmmaker's Apocalypse, which was released in 1991. Mandisa was found dead at her home on April 18th at the age of 47. A recording artist who first came on the scene as a contestant on the fifth season of American Idol back in 2006, where she finished in ninth place. I was fortunate enough to have seen her on tour with a lot of the other finalists that year. Since then, she managed to win a Grammy in the category of Best Contemporary Christian Music Album in 2014. My condolences go out to all of their families. So that's just about does it for the news of this month. I will be back in June to discuss any bits of entertainment news stories that I found interesting and or important from May. If you love this show, please leave us a review. Go to ratethispodcast.com/carereviewspodcast and follow the simple instructions. Feel free to subscribe to wherever you get this podcast. If you'd like to find more content from me, please visit my website, which is www.carereviews.net. You can also find it on Twitter at @carereviews and me at @JeffreyCare. Thanks for listening, and I will see you all later.